Hello, friends. How you doing?
Hi.
I am lucky enough to have some friends with me today, instead of you guys just listening to my voice. And I'm going to let them introduce themselves. Please, go ahead.
Well, you all know me again, Miss Cindy Sinstress. Pleased to be here.
And my name is Harley Heckle. I am the OG safety switch. Well, you know, there's lots of people who ask me why safety switch, and I like to remind them that there are people who aren't just daddy doms or mummies who also care about people's safety and do nurture.
Yeah, yeah.
So as someone who is a switch, I didn't like the term health dom that everybody always gave me.
I'd never heard of that term, health dom.
Yeah, because I'm always like, hey, do you have water? Do you need a blankie? Do you have a snack? How are you doing? And I'll always ask if someone's a submissive, I'll go at them with more of a dominant tone. If someone's a dominant, I'll come at them with a submissive tone, but make sure they're taking care of themselves.
Okay.
Yeah. And people used to call me the party mom, and I was like, I'm not your mommy.
Yeah.
No,
I mean, but this is obviously
in
some sort of party setting, right, we're talking about, right?
Any kind of gathering setting.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But it's interesting you want to take on that role.
I always do. I always have.
Really?
Yeah, it's always been how I have been. And then the more I went out to places, a lot of people were always trying to call me mommy or daddy, and I just didn't appreciate it because I'm more in the switch zone. I'm not someone's mom, I'm not someone's dad.
Yeah, you weren't trying to, like, be some sort of role to them.
Yeah, but
it
kind of developed into this whole thing where at some point I would love to go deeper into the topic where there's a safety dom, safety switch, safety sub, because all of these people, there are nurturers out there, and they're not necessarily mummies or daddies, and they're looking for a title and how to explain themselves.
I don't mind being called a daddy dumb every now and then.
Yeah.
But
I've definitely had experience with a daddy.
And I feel like instead of, like, dungeon master or dungeon monitor,
right,
like a safety dom or safety
I thought it
monitor.
Sounded more like a train thing, but...
Yeah.
Like health dom? Let me give you your health plan and your meals for this
right.
week.
Well, I used to do that. Oh.
Like,
But that's a cool role.
Yeah.
Well, welcome, guys. Welcome. So we had a chance, of course, we've been shooting the shit for the last, actually, couple hours, catching up. Cindy, how have things been going with you? We just caught up. You just got back, right?
Yeah. I went to Montreal Fetish Weekend.
Oh, my God.
And honestly, like, there's a million events going on at once. It's Labor Day long weekend, there's festivals and parties everywhere. And it's really about the people. Like, the whole thing. Meeting people who come up from the
States. The events are cool, but it's, like, those connections, those
exactly.
after parties, right?
And the true reason that I ended up going was actually for Rubber Regalia, which is warmrubberette.com, if anyone's interested in the Montreal fetish events. And it's, like, it's a little rubber party. It's a play party. And it was just delightful.
Anything... you can tell us, or most of the stuff stays in-house, obviously.
I got to do a lot of fun shit, and I think I went to bed at 7 in the morning the whole
Purr.
Time I was
Oh,
there.
So you can't tell us nothing.
Yeah, rubber, and more rubber.
You know what, we haven't chatted, because we chatted before the Fetish Weekend, the Vancouver
before,
Fetish Weekend.
Yes, I've just been go, nonstop.
You've been going nuts.
Filming at Club Stiletto and catching up with friends from out of town.
Yeah, and I stayed here at the Dungeon with you, and that was a blast. It was such a good weekend.
Yeah,
agreed. And then we had the after party here the one night.
Yeah.
And...
that was a play party.
That was
I
a fun night.
I met Harley, and Harley and you spanked me.
It was very
Canes.
Fun.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
You were like, I'm not sure I'm into that. And I'm like, I'm going to try anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to, like, set this picture up for the audience, because we're doing audio. There's a beautiful red bench. It's set up beautifully.
Handmade.
Actually, it's handmade. Actually, if they go to my Insta, there's that one scene where you did spank me the one time I was here for the party. They can see it. But I'm on the bench, and then you guys basically take each cheek.
Yeah, we tag-teamed you.
Yeah.
Dude, like, I'm not, like, honestly, from, okay, first of all, It was fantastic. I haven't been beaten in a long time. Afterwards, I was hard crushing on you, Harley. Oh, yeah. Well, probably still am. And then, but like, you guys, like, it was like you guys have been doing that before.
Yeah, no, that was the first time we've ever co-topped anybody together, and we've known each other for like 20 years at this point.
So, yeah. You basically had 40 years of experience.
Yeah. Oh, my ass. Taking it out of your ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
I loved it.
Yes.
I loved it. It was really good. You guys' timing, the tunes were great. It was just good. It was the right vibe. The tunes were great. I may or may not have been on some substances. And it was, it was great. But, like, you guys were in timing.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
But, because I think what it is like, I mean, you guys obviously can speak to those kind of things. You guys have a lot of experience in that kind of play. Well, I mean, maybe Harley, we talked and you've been learning, right, over the last maybe 5 years. But I mean, you know, like from a toppings point of view, first of all, 5 years in the kink world is a lot anyways. You guys have experienced long learned experience in the kink world.
Yeah, we're like 20 years each.
Reading body language, and not just your body language, but we were reading each other's body language. Yeah. Like, there was very little verbal communication once we started playing. And it was literally like the winks, the nudges, the gestures, and we just flowed together so beautifully. I can't wait to do that again with you sometime.
I know, I'm so excited. Maybe a longer scene next time would be a lot of fun.
Right? I'll volunteer anytime.
Oh, awesome. Excellent. You have a tribute?
You
volunteer as tribute?
I volunteer as tribute. But I mean, I mean the thing is like, I was also in a place where I want to be a good submissive. I haven't gone into an impact, haven't had impact play for a while. It was fun. It was the right vibe. But also, too, like, I was like, these two wonderful ladies are going to be spanking me. I want to come into a role. But I also want to be good. I want to be a good submissive. But I don't want to be a bad submissive. I don't want to be a shitty submissive, right? Mm-hmm. I wasn't shitty,
There's
was I?
There's a lot of shitty submissives out there.
Really?
You were a good submissive.
You were very good.
There is a lot of shitty submissives out there, honestly.
How do you know if someone's shitty?
It's the way they approach you, first and foremost. I've had people just, like, out of the blue. They haven't even said hello or anything like that. They just come up and, like, beat me.
Oh, please, mistress.
Mistress. You know, using terms that they're not, don't have permission for, coming at you right away, and they don't even say hello. They just
There's no write negotiation.
Into you. No they negotiation. Just,
yeah. I'm not your fucking fetish dispenser. Yeah. Thank you.
So I pride that, like, we
people
get a lot.
People pay for that shit.
Like, we have a lot of people that listen to this podcast who are very experienced in the industry, or sorry, in the community, but also people that are new in learning. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the things that they shouldn't say, or
like red flags?
Yeah, what are some of the red flags? What are some of the things they need to do? Let's make a red. Oh, let's do a red flag list of shitty subs. Okay, let's go around the table. Okay. Harley, start.
Where they just approach you on like social media or something, and they haven't even said hello. They just jump right into what they want you to do.
Right. And why is that shitty?
Because they don't, that you know right off the bat, they don't see you as a human being.
Right.
They see you as a toy.
Fetish dispenser.
Yeah.
I'm making a t-shirt.
Yeah.
There's going to be a t-shirt.
Yeah. I like it. I like that, actually. Fetish dispenser. Yeah. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're human beings. Just as much as a submissive is a human being, a dominant is a human being, and people tend to forget that.
Right.
And that is the biggest takeaway as someone who came into the dominant side of my switch side later in life. My biggest takeaway was acknowledging that I had been a shitty sub to people and realizing that a dom is a person. They still need aftercare, you know, caring about them as a human and not just a fetish dispenser.
Right. Yeah, I think that's the thing is like acknowledging, right, I'm trying to grow my dominant side, but acknowledge, and that's also like you're saying, you're starting to acknowledge being, oh, I'm shitty. It's the same as, like, you know, my deconstruction since my divorce and through the different relationships I've been through the while, realizing, like, at times I may have been a shitty partner or I may have done shitty things. So it's like acknowledging those things. Okay, Cindy, what else?
I would say that the biggest red flag, so once you get into scene, the come and go.
Yes.
What do you mean?
It's, so I've had the pleasure of playing with a few people who are actual people you're playing with. You're interacting, you're connecting, you've talked boundaries, you've engaged, you're both into the same things. And as soon as they get off, they want out of their gear, they want to go. They're done. There's no communication. There's no aftercare. There's no just, oh, that was great. And they're just, they're done. They've come and they're ready to remove everything. And it's like, do you not even want to be in that gear? I mean, we're fetishists. We find the most complicated way possible to get off.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, everybody needs a little something after.
Right.
And a lot of people have that mentality. Okay, well, I've come, I'm done. I've accomplished my thing, box checked, move on to the next.
I think it speaks to the first one. It's about, it's a sign of disrespect, right?
Yeah.
It's about not treating the other person like that.
Right? Yeah. And, like, at the end of the day, doms need aftercare just as much as subs. Because people don't realize that, like, if you've never talked or domed in any situation, you don't realize how much mental energy it takes. Because you don't get to lose yourself in the moment. You're in charge. You're the one who's making sure the other person's
But doms
not
can get
hurt.
Into dom space too, right?
Yeah, but you still, at the end of the day, it's your responsibility as the dom to make sure you're watching that body language. You're listening for safe words. Mm-hmm. You're listening for the hand signals for stopping and stuff like that. You don't get
you
to just abandon
to
everything. Yeah.
That's why I don't play when I'm not sober. Like, you know, if there's someone you've played with for a long time and you're connecting.
Sure.
Do some drugs. You know, have some drinks.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can say that on here.
Yeah, you can. We can fucking say anything out here.
because those things can be enjoyable, but everybody has to know that that's what's happening and that, you know, you have to know how you respond to that person before you do that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't ever play well intoxicated. I, even as a sub, I don't really like to... Because I do get really deep into subspace, and that just, you know, I don't like to have that intoxicant on top of those subspace.
A lot of the scene that I came from, or that I came into, all of the parties are sober events, and that's kind of how I came through the community. Learning was playing sober, and you know the idea is number one, then we know the dominant knows. Can read your cues, trust your cues better. And then also as a submissive, you can read your own body better, right?
Yeah, I in the community as I came up, it was all sober play until about like 5-6 years ago. It seemed to change where all of a sudden everybody was just like, free range! So just get fucked up and play! And
honestly,
I'm like,
shh. My impression of that is because we're well seasoned, but we're not old.
Yeah.
And a lot of the crowd... that was swingers, like a lot of the events have kind of merged. So you have like super gay groups and the swingers and like the poly and then the super kinky.
Yeah.
And everyone's kind of merged together and it's beautiful. It's a glorious thing when people are all playing and connecting together. But with a lot of the older crowds and the very young see this as a meat market and they jump in and they're like, great, I can get fucked up. I need it to relax. For the older crowd, they're used to going to fuck parties.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're like, yeah, let's do some of this substance over here and have some drinks. And you're in a comfortable space and that's it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm loose. I'm ready to go. This is fucking sexy. But if you've ever, you know, fucked on MDMA back in the 90s, you'll realize how much that really fucks your sex life.
Yeah.
It's fun once, and then you're chasing an experience you're never going to get again.
Yeah. It's funny, because
it's dangerous.
I found having sex for me on MDMA, I couldn't really come.
Same.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. That's a thing.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I find
it feels
with,
so good, but you're just fucking...
I find with Molly that I'm, like, I can keep going and going and going, but I'm never going to come.
Yeah.
And it turns into a frustration after a while, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is kind of like a fuck you. Like, this feels so great, but I'm not getting where I want to.
Yeah. Ultimate cock block.
Yeah. Okay, what else is another red flag?
Temper tantrums.
Tell me.
Oh my god.
Temper tantrums. Subs who think that throwing a tantrum will get them their way because the dom has to give them what they want just to shut them up. Oh, God, my biggest pet peeve.
Oh, it's okay, they're a little. Oh, but I love them. Like, oh, what the fuck? Like, no repercussions, ever.
That's shitty behavior.
If a dog did the same thing through a temper tantrum, we would, you know...
Actually punish it.
Give it some repercussion.
Okay, so what... I'm going to take a side point. Is that But maybe that's just bratting behavior.
Bratting and temper tantrums are two different things, because yes. I am a brat. Yep. And there's a difference between when I throw my brat down and when I have a temper tantrum.
Yeah.
It's a very different mentality. And like at the end of the day, you should be able to recognize that in yourself, and your dominant should be able to recognize it and pull you in. But at the same time, it shouldn't just be the dominant's responsibility to tell you that you're acting poorly.
It's fucking exhausting, honestly. Yeah. I generally don't like brats.
Yeah.
A lot of people who have those behavior issues will say they're brats, and they're just manipulative emotionally.
Yeah. Yes, that is a feeling. I think that's, I mean, you and I had a small conversation about it. I think on the podcast, especially the other one, we've given shit to brats because we kind of think it's an excuse for bad behavior. But I'm learning that there is
needy, clingy.
Sure,
behavior,
but there's a true brat umbrella that can be worked. But I think you're right. The shittiness of being an asshole and just being a temp.
It taints it.
Right. Good luck. Pun intended. Yes. Yes,
very much.
Right? It ends up just being like, then that is why, like, oh, we hate brats, or you don't want to deal with them.
And honestly, a good brat, somebody who's very good at kind of pushing those buttons and reinforcing the play, is just a fucking glorious thing. Mm-hmm. Like, a good brat, I will wrestle down and chase around the house and, like, that's what I want. That's what they want.
Yeah.
Don't manipulate me into it. Be playful about it.
Yeah.
That's what you want. Don't be shitty.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, I find that a lot of subs just throw temper tantrums, and again, they try to throw it under the umbrella of a brat and gives real brats a bad name, like myself. Because, like, I'm bratty in both dominant aspect and submissive aspect, and a lot of people don't want to engage with the brat. They get really mad when I pull it up, bring out the brat, but I'm like, I'm not throwing a tantrum, I'm not manipulating you, I'm playing with you.
And that's boundaries, that's talking boundaries, and that would be my next point as a red flag, is subs that approach with no boundaries.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, they just walk in and they're
so what are your boundaries?
You can do anything to me.
No.
Hard red flag.
Yeah,
hard red flag.
Do you have any hard limits? No, I don't have any. Oh, okay, so I can cut your arm off. Like,
right?
Yeah, like, I'm going to stick needles in your arm and shit in your face.
Yeah.
Right? Like, are you sure you don't have a hard limit? Because, like, you probably should.
Like, whoa, that's not what I was thinking. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
I formulated a 2-hour interview that was basically based off of the old alt.com and FetLife.
Nice.
And I have it all merged into psychodramas and physical sensations. And even people who are experienced, I bet you would probably love to do an interview.
Yeah.
Because people don't think of those things. Like, this is a punishment. This is a hard no. This is a punishment I enjoy.
Mm.
And you pull those things out of someone, stuff they wouldn't even think of.
So what I did at one point, as I got myself, well, I had my partner put me deep into subspace, and I sat down and I thought and talked to myself and wrote out a list that I keep in note form on my phone of my do's and don'ts, my hard limits, things like that.
Because it changes sometimes.
Yeah, and it's, I found it better to do it already in subspace, for me at least. For some people, that might not be the way they go about it. Because I'm already there, I can feel, assess out the things I like and don't like. But, you know, as someone who is a switch, I have 20 years of experience, I still get excited and forget to tell people things. So in the note form, or your, say, your interview, it's all negotiated.
You share it.
Right? You can share it with people before you even get to negotiations. Because there are certain DOMs I get near them, I'm like,
yes, see,
and I just clam up, and I'm too nervous to remember
exactly.
All of the things.
It, like, takes away some of that.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. As a submissive, and I was saying this earlier, like, approaching your DOM or a DOM and wanting to set your boundaries or set your conversations, you're already in a, you know, in a place where maybe you don't feel comfortable stating those kind of things, right?
Yeah.
And it's I know that I had a hard time. My DOM wasn't able to create a safe enough space for me to be able to approach them to have those conversations.
I like to do plainclothes interviews, or even sending them a form and then going over the form in person, because then it's more playful and it facilitates conversation based off of realistic responses.
Yeah, and I'm sure that, I mean, that's got to be a red flag. Someone that doesn't want to do that, doesn't want to fill out a vetting form.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a huge red flag for sessions and for in personal.
Yes.
But creating that space is really important.
I've had people say, like, well, it's not really sexy or what. I'm like, you don't understand. Then you're not understanding where this can go.
Yeah.
Where, how much better this can be. If I know that you like your ear tickled, How much better is it that you wrote down, I like my ear tickled, rather than me trying to figure it out through the tongue? Like,
yeah. And then I'm going to be spanking someone and I'm going to lean in and I'm gently going to let my hair fall across their ear as I whisper something filthy in their ear. And just that psychological head fuck, that pushing it.
So psychologically, it's hitting them differently, right?
Yeah.
Right. And then, by the way, I like my ears tickled. Okay, so... Noted. Okay, another red flag. Holy shit, you have a list?
Yes. Yes.
It's like a scroll.
You don't want to forget stuff, right? Not using safe words in session or communicating. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I can't believe you did that to me. Yeah. I was going to call my safe word, but it's not a...
If you don't call your safe word, you tell me afterwards that you couldn't call your safe word, I don't feel safe playing with you anymore because you don't have the capacity to let me know.
Just because you're a sub doesn't mean you're pathetic. Yeah. I mean...
Some want that, but you're, exactly.
Like you still need to have that ability to use your safe words, communicate if I've crossed the line.
So let's talk about communicating safe words. So safe words verbally can be communicated. How your guys' experience in the community, how are safe words communicated when they have a gag in their mouth or other times? So or usually, loud music or something.
When I have somebody who's gagged and they can't verbalize, so... I mean, it happens a lot with latex, with full coverage and gas masks.
Yeah.
And you kind of get an ear for communication with the muffled voice.
Mm-hmm.
But I usually put something in a hand.
Mm, yeah.
I've heard that. I get
them to drop it. But it also adds another dynamic because they could be enjoying themselves and they're so into it. And then they drop the toy.
Sure.
And you're like... Oh, I guess I'm stopping.
Right.
And they're like, no. And you'll hear them in the mask. Like, don't stop the scene. And it's like, oh, you wanted to keep going. See, I thought you were calling red on me. And you can really play it up.
Oh,
making them hold something, even in an awkward way, so they're constantly just out of subspace. Just focusing on that. It's the head fuck. And it allows them to... You know, if they do it enough times, then they're going to get in that routine of, okay, this is my safe. Right. I sometimes get people to make a fist for me.
Yeah. I do hand signals.
Or someone holds like a pen all the time and then like they go to work and hold that pen all of a sudden they're instantly in subspace.
It works like that. It does work like that.
Condition you do people. Program your brain and condition for sure. For me, when I'm doing a topping scene in like a loud space or in public, I get hand signals. Thumbs up means continue, I like it, keep going. And then I do like a so-so hand signal, you know, that's their yellow.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So maybe slow down, change it.
That's the stoplight system.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And then a solid fist up is stop.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you can't hear in things, even without a gag. If you're
Some of the parties are very loud, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I use hand signals for that.
Or you're wearing a hood and you can't
or
hear.
Or people
them.
Are go me in subspace. Sometimes I go verbally non-communicative, so I've developed hand signals because I can't always speak, but I want to be able to say for it if I need to. So I do hand signals. And as someone...
Sometimes I'll do, like, if I'm doing a really intense suffocation scene and someone's completely tied together, I'll put their hand on my leg.
Yeah, that's another one.
And then, you know, two pats, yellow, one hard pat, like, stop.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the...
Kind of like wrestling or whatever, right?
Yeah, tapping out.
Exactly. Out, right?
I do the same if I'm standing closer to the person's arms, and then I can't see their hands if their hands are behind me.
And you just put it on yourself.
Or on my leg or something if they're on a bench. Yeah.
To clarify, this is all communicated before they're completely bound up and you're in scene.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anytime I play with somebody.
And that's what you do through a vetting process.
Like for you, if, say I was interviewing you for play or whatever, and we do our boundaries and we do the check-in and you're completely bound, how does that make you feel? Having that, you know, that pre-flight check-in, basically. Like, hey, here's your signals, here's your words, do you understand them?
Yeah, it makes it so I can go deeper into subspace.
Because...
The trust is there.
There's a safety, right? Like, you feel... Now there's another level of safety you feel with that person, right?
Actually,
you're trusting it.
Actually, that list I was telling you guys about that I have in my phone for all the things, it actually... One of the rules is, ask me about my safe word.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically in my rules. If you don't ask me before we go into play, then I don't trust you as much.
Some people have unique safe words. The stoplight system is great, and I always use it. Like, if I'm spanking someone and I'm like, oh, if you really like this, give your butt a wiggle. Like, because dancing is fun. You know, go ahead, dance on the piece of equipment.
Yeah.
Tell me that it's too soft or you're really enjoying it. Again, body language.
Body language. I mean, and like,
it,
like,
reinforces it for them because now they're going to go play with someone else. And they're going to do the little cute butt wiggles, and the person's going to go, oh, they like this.
But, I mean, you can, I mean, there's this, obviously, you like, you know, when someone's enjoying it, they may stick their ass out more, or they arch their back differently.
Oh, of course.
But
some people have no body language.
But, yeah, but obviously it's about those verbal communications. Like, actually, everything that we've been talking about actually is about communication,
it is,
right?
Yeah.
I think the red flags around a submissive not being great and being shitty is that lack of communication.
So, in my opinion, like, the list of red flags can come from anyone, but usually it's new people. Not young people, but new people.
Yeah, yeah.
So people jumping in deeper to kink or just exploring more, and they've reinforced these bad habits with swinger parties or their consistent partners, and they didn't have to check in, or they haven't played with other people.
Or they've had
a
fantasy for 10 years that just ran in their head constantly for 10 years
and they
now
want something
they get
very explicit.
They want something that they're going to play it right this second.
And when I interview people, at least for sessions, I usually talk to them about those things. Is this a fantasy, or is this something you actually want to do? How much of this is verbal and visual stimulus in your brain, and how much of this are we actually going to recreate? Because there's a lot of people out there who are like, ooh, I want to be pegged so hard. I want to take that big fat cock.
Right. Yeah.
Finger. And they just, you know, as soon as you do the starter toy and your fingers and you get them warmed up, and they're like, no, 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 no. And I'm like, come on.
I mean, who takes a big fat cock off the start anyways?
But did they clean out?
Exactly.
Did they stretch? Did they play with themselves?
Right.
Like, I literally had someone I played with who wouldn't do any of that. Oh, I want you to tell me to do those things. I don't want to be prepared for you. I want you to spend 2 hours preparing me so you can fuck me so I can get off.
Well, okay, then we need to have a different conversation. That's outside of play here.
Anytime I know I'm going to peg somebody, I make them buy a three-step anal kit.
Yeah.
And then they have to work their way up to the big one, and then they have to come to session cleaned out with the plug already in.
With the plug in.
Oh, that's a good idea. I always make them shower when they walk in the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to have, there was a process I was given by my dom on cleaning out. So I had a cleaning out process.
Mm-hmm.
And she gifted me a three-step anal kit.
Yeah.
I sell some beautiful three-step anal
exactly.
kits.
Exactly. Plug. And literally. And then also too is like, then I came in, then there was prep that day. And then there was a conversation while I was on coming to site. And then there was a shower before I came in, right? And then it was about putting up, like, the one time I came with... One time she had me come with the plug-in, which was fun. And then I assumed that's how she would like to do things all the time. And I came in with a plug-in.
Yes. See, that is good. That's
I got in trouble. Because I wasn't told to put the plug-in. I made the assumption.
See... We all have different opinions.
I know. It's a different way of doing it.
To prepare and clean out, I usually tell them to keep a kit in their car. Like a clean out kit.
Yep.
And any devices that they may need. And to be prepared. If we have something planned, I want them at least, bare minimum, washed, shaved, cleaned out. I don't care if you're still jumping in the shower here.
Sure.
I expect a minimum of this level of maintenance. Like, how many people... Girls...
Right.
How much fucking maintenance do we do?
Yeah.
Like, $120 for waxing, $180 for my nails, an hour of hair and makeup. Like, it's not effortless. And you expect to walk in unshowered, unprepped, unstretched after I've been spending 2 hours getting ready?
And the thing is that, like, it's just going to make the session or the play or whatever is that
so
much better for them.
Streamlined.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's just going to make... Now... Accidents happen, things show up. That's not what we're not talking about shaming that process.
I've totally been shit on. That stuff happens.
That happens.
Yeah,
we're okay with
it. It's a body.
That.
It does the things. It's the people who demand that you prepare them and they aren't willing to do their own prep. And they demand that you tell them to do the prep. No, I've already told you once that this is what you need to be doing if you want to get to that level of play. If you're not willing to put in that effort, why should I put in the effort?
Okay, so is that leading towards another red flag? Like a manipulative topping from the bottom? type of submissive.
No.
Well, yes and no. Because if you haven't discussed the boundaries of they want to be told step by step, that is kind of manipulative. Because they're basically telling you that they don't want to do the work.
Right.
And, it's not the hugest red flag. It just makes me not want to do the work. I don't want to meet me halfway, at least, you know?
Right.
I have had subs declare that part of their fetish is that level of force.
Yeah.
And
but that's part of the conversation beforehand.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm sure some people love that. Right. I personally don't.
Right.
You know, it's fun in the beginning to go through and prep them and train them. And these are the things you need to do. And if you need help or if you need, you know, I can do those things. But I'm not doing them every single time.
A lot of why I wasn't thinking that I was interested in any kind of dominant play, because my understanding for a long time that a dominant, it had to be that person that held your hand, looked after them, was part of controlling their life.
Yeah.
And I wasn't interested in, that bores me. I don't want to do that. None of that was interesting to me. That's more of a daddy role or mommy role. None of that interesting. There's a say this dominant in play stuff that really excites me, but I don't want to know that you fucking paid your bills last week. I don't give a fuck. I'm not here to fucking, right? Yeah. I did that online thing with someone for a while.
Never. Somebody asked me recently, they're like, what do you get out of play? But it was online.
Yeah.
And they were asking what I get out of it online, and I'm like, I don't. They asked me that, and I literally said money.
I just could say money. That's why you're doing it.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
I fucking hate online.
Right.
Video chat. No.
Right.
So one thing that we haven't talked about that I find a red flag in subs are the ones who publicly do their meltdown scenes because their dom is talking to somebody else.
Tell
or
me.
Somebody they
expand
like.
On that. Expand on
somebody
that.
They're jealous about.
Yeah.
Expand on that.
Like, the ones that they're always crying at events.
Right.
Like, you're like, come on, man, we're at a public party. Could you, I don't know, check yourself for a night? You're making everybody uncomfortable.
And unfortunately, a lot of people are like, oh, their dom should be taking them into a corner and talking, or their partner. Usually they're people who are partnered for a long term.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny enough, a lot of them are poly.
Yeah.
But right. So it's a poly scenario where they're dominant, maybe talking to another submissive
or playing with
someone else. So in theory, they've talked about that before they came to the event.
It's pre-negotiated, usually.
Right.
So it's not supposed to be a fucking trap.
Yeah.
Right.
And then in the moment, their sub will just throw a tantrum, a full-on crying tantrum, making everybody else uncomfortable, and everybody assumes that the dom's done something wrong, or that they should be taking care of them. No, you need to be taking care of your own emotions.
So this sounds like the ultimate manipulation, right?
Yeah.
They've given that person permission, but like you said, it's a trap. They're not really wanting to give permission. They're wanting to control
it. And I'm not invalidating the feelings.
Sure,
because sometimes people consent to things,
yep.
and their feelings change in the moment, but what I think is unacceptable is making it everybody else's problem. You can feel how you want to feel, and you sit down, take a moment, go in a corner, maybe tell your dom, hey, I don't feel the same about this.
I've changed my mind.
That's acceptable. But freaking out in the middle of a venue and making it everyone around you's problem is just dramatic.
Frankly, let's make that for doms or anyone else too. Like, if a dom is going to freak out over,
it's
not just
submissive
an event
doing something
either.
Yeah, right.
It's in public. Period.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's almost like making
a child saying, "I want that candy." Ooh, I want that candy.
But it's almost like there's a level of fakeness to it because it's almost like they're doing it.
It's
for,
learned behavior.
And if they're doing it for the attention, at the end of the day, it's an attention.
It's not only attention; it's to manipulate. Well.
Yes.
So if you're doing it in public, what are you doing behind closed doors too? How
and
much
some of
more
them,
are you manipulating
some of them
people?
Don't realize what they're doing. I mean, how many narcissists realize 100% what they're doing?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But it's just, and there's doms that have some of the same issues.
Sure.
Like, it is a person thing. It's not exclusive to subs. But for the sake of this, I find there is a lot of subs that will see a circumstance that they want to be a part of, and they just don't communicate clearly. Like, they're afraid to, or they're shy about it, and instead they just have a meltdown.
So how do we do that as a submissive? How do you approach your dominant maybe the dominant isn't giving you the safe space to do it. How do you approach them?
I think, and I'll let you, because you're definitely a switch, I'm not, but I like to do like a needs, wants, desires sheet. And I would love it if more subs, I had a sub do this for me once and it was amazing. And I wish more subs did it because they weren't comfortable. They were shy, they were scared. And so they made this sheet of things they explicitly needed, things they wanted but didn't necessarily need, and then where their desires overlapped the needs and wants. And it was beautiful and it facilitated a great conversation. And by the end of it, they were very comfortable. But they brought this sheet to me.
Nice.
With some boundaries on the bottom, and then we expanded on that together.
Yeah.
They were afraid to ask for certain things.
Right.
And to clarify some of those boundaries, because they thought we wouldn't play anymore, or I wouldn't be interested. Yeah. And it was glorious. And I really wish more subs did that.
Well, speaking from a point of view as a sub, and someone who just does not have the capacity to always write out beautiful lists like that.
Yeah.
I like to have a decompression session as soon as everybody's aftercare is taken care of. Mm-hmm. I don't walk away from a scene where, especially if it's a recurring partner, where we don't have a conversation about what happened during session. See,
yeah.
It doesn't matter if I'm the dominant or the submissive. I want to hear your feedback right away while it's still fresh in your mind.
You've cooled off.
I've had my blankie on, or I've put your blankie on.
Yeah.
I've had water. And it's time to decompress.
No come and run.
No come
right,
and run.
No come and run. Yeah.
So that I find, because that's where people are still in their vulnerable. Yeah. Right.
Yes.
People are still in their vulnerable space. Yeah, they're not like deep into subspace or deep into dom space, but for me, it's mandatory we have a decompression session
right
away after, because I need to hear those things. Even if I am in the subspace, I need to hear if I did something wrong from my dominant, or I need to communicate to them, hey, I didn't quite like that. Or hey, because I do have a significant amount of injuries, I communicate, hey, this one thing you did that I'm going to feel that hard tomorrow because of said injury. Mm-hmm. Let's not do that again next time. Because maybe in the moment, it wasn't necessarily a need to call a safe word.
Right.
But I can feel it afterwards that it's going
to
hurt.
So they can be more aware of that.
Yeah. I'm one of those people who does have an extremely delayed pain response. So, like, if I'm not careful and I don't communicate right away after, I can forget. And I'll end up even more injured than I am. Because I forgot to mention, hey, that angle is bad for this injury. I can feel it.
I definitely try to talk afterwards.
Yeah.
Sometimes it might take a day or two. Sometimes there's some decompression for some people. They take a bit more time. And things do change between an hour after and a day after. Mm. I try to tell people, like, after the moment, if they were good, or, you know, hey, this thing, you squirmed too much here. Is that something you don't like? You know, noting their body language and clarifying how they were responding.
Yeah.
You know, telling them they're a good girl.
Yeah.
Stuff like that to just that's how you bond. Like, it's not just the in scene and that connection, it's communicating afterwards and feeling out the emotions and the feelings.
Yeah, I think it's like from a submissive side, I don't know if you agree, Harley, is like,
I like this. Switch.
Side, right.
Top.
Like, right?
It's all points of view.
It's
right
like
here.
Hard to ask. I find it hard to ask for what I want. I want, and I'm much more a service sub. What I want is what the dominant wants, right? Like, I want to serve the dominant. But yes, there's fantasies of what I want, right? There's things that I want to do. But I find it so difficult to communicate that I want those things. And I've even had it before where I've been pressed on me, you know, like during one with my dominant, she's like, what do you want? What do you want? She's punishing me because I keep telling her what she wants to hear. And then I finally say, I want to fuck you in the pussy. And she's like, finally, you told me what you want. You're not going to get it. But now I know, like, you're at least you're telling me.
So that's a change of your own mindset, I find. It's the same as when people can't accept help. It's similar in that aspect. You have to change your mindset and realize your dom wants you to tell them those things. You're doing them a service. It's part of your service to tell them what you want, because we don't read minds.
Mm-hmm.
It is literally a change of mindset.
It is a change of mindset. And a lot of subs who struggle with that just need to get it in their head that you're bringing to the table what the Dom needs to hear. Part of your acts of service, part of your servitude, part of being a submissive is
You
need to clarify. You need to tell your dominant what they want, because otherwise they, like, it's hard to plan out all of these sessions. It takes a lot of emotional energy.
Totally.
And without the input, just do what you want. Well, what Again, I want.
That's the red flag.
Yeah.
So a lot of There's times when people flag. Say that, right. then it brings up the red flag of do whatever you want to me. Because if you want what I want, then I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want to you.
Right.
Yeah.
So there still needs to be some sort of clear, concise communication that is not scene language. Very plain, clear language.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is maybe speaking outside of like a session, like a client session, but like in play or in partner play, right? Like, it's not all about the submissive. It's not all about the dominant, right? Like, they should both be getting
something
out of it.
It's mutual.
Sometimes maybe one play is just for one party, and then another time the play is just for one party, right? But, like, overall, especially if it's a continuing relationship, it's about both people in getting something out of it.
Yeah, and it's not just about, you know, P to V sex.
Correct.
Like, there's a lot of emotional release, and, you know, can be quite cathartic.
Yeah. You can get P to V sex very easily.
Yeah.
I could just go to a bar.
Right.
You just sissy loves that.
Right. Like, we've said this a million times. P to V sex is the easiest thing to get.
Yeah.
It's everything else and the other side of
it. I mean, it is nice in full rubber with someone strapped down.
Go on. But I mean, like, when I've had conversations, like, podcast conversations and conversations with people where I talk about the best times I've been fucked. And when I talk about the best times I've been fucked, what you realized is there was actual little fucking involved.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yes. If you think about the times, like, the best person or the best time you've been fucked, right? Like, how many of those times, at least for the kinky people I talk to, how many of those times involve actual P to V? Maybe there was a part of it, but there was so, like, much more.
5 minutes out of the 4 hours.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Right. And then speaking, like, and then that's just hetero conversations, right? Like, anyone that, and when you're having any other kind of sex outside of that, there's a whole bunch of different role plays.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about how I know for myself, and I know I'm going off topic a bit, but I think, like, I came from a very heteronormative, you know, married, white picket fence, religious thing, sex to me, sex meant eventually P to V, I need to come.
I grew up in the Bible Belt.
Right.
It's like, all lights off.
It wasn't like, it didn't feel like I...
Oh, yeah, I did not have any of that kind of...
It didn't feel like I had sex until I came into a vagina. Right? Like, it was like, I didn't have sex until I'm coming into a vagina.
So many people think that.
Yeah. Right. Because that's how we were raised.
About Catholic girls who do it in the ass and they're still virgins.
They're still virgins.
Yeah.
But sex, that's why I make the argument now with so many people that sex is, like, you have sex with so many. I always laugh about women that, like, you know, when you ask them about their body count. Right? And they're like, they only count, like, the ones where they've had maybe P to V or something like that. I'm like, well, how about the guys you've blown? Well, I don't count those ones.
Like, that's not sex.
That's not sex.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we can make the argument not, but at least...
It's called oral sex.
It's called oral sex.
Sex. So the legal definition of sex literally is a penis going into a vagina.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Right. We've all had sex where we didn't have penis and vagina. It was great sex.
If I had a bar... Oh my God, I wouldn't even fucking know.
Right? Exactly. So, I mean... Okay, so had we hit the list of all
every girl you
shitty...
finger banged in a bathroom stall at a gay club?
Well, exactly.
It's fucking sex.
But I mean, that's ultimately where it all comes back to, right?
Yeah.
It's the
best sex comes from bias. Communication.
Yes, and that
doesn't
is
matter
what
the sex act you're doing, but it's
but that's this entire
yeah.
and that's this entire
it's
conversation
that
with
trust
this list
and putting right. yourself out there and having that connection where, like, for me. When I'm playing with a sub who's communicated clearly and there's that trust and I'm, like, getting into a scene with them and I know what those boundaries are and what I can push and then subtly pushing those things. Like, that is so fucking sexy.
Yeah.
That is, right? This is what I always want to tell people. This is why
I can't do that with someone I don't talk to.
And that's why I always talk to people about, like, I push the idea of, well, we all push the idea of consent is sexy. But, like, do you know how sexy it is when you ask someone, like, can I have sex with you? And they say yes.
Yeah.
How hot is that? Yep. The reason we don't do that is because we're worried about them saying no. But so what? They say no. Go talk to someone else. Yeah. Or still, or enjoy whatever else conversation
you have. If their ass is so wound up that you ask that and they say no and now they can't be your friend anymore.
Well, then
were they really your friend in the first place?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, yeah, for me, it's always with subs, I need to, like, I need that connection so I can take you to that place that you want to be.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's no fun for me.
Yep.
I'm not here to just hurt you. I'm here to hurt you for pleasure.
Right.
Yeah.
And
it's
and not as a service top.
No.
Like, I want this to be about both of us.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, it's about you guys want to enjoy it.
It's power exchange.
Right.
It's that dynamic.
Otherwise, pay me.
Yes.
Even if you pay me.
I communicate your boundaries. I'm like, I'm pretty picky, and even in a paid session, I still like that dynamic. If somebody gets through my vetting process and I don't enjoy playing with them,
mm-hmm.
it's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
Like, it's emotionally and physically exhausting.
Yeah.
So it has to be 100% worth it for me.
We just sat here a little while ago going through a calendar and we're 3 months out, right? Like, we don't have time to waste it with shitty people.
No.
Paid or not. Like
I want quality. Yeah. Quality experiences.
Right.
So...
Right. You know,
it's why I booked so few sessions. I'm not willing to, not willing to destroy myself.
But that's the thing, like, we all want to just, I mean, I find that's my journey right now, is communicating and in learning people, you know? And I think we just had the great time to have a chat. Whoa, that was sexy. But I mean... That's exactly what, you know...
Just sweating.
Yeah, but that's exactly what these conversations are, right? Taking the time to be together, talk about, and, like, openly have... Because I think, like, we have these conversations outside of this.
Yeah.
Like, we have these conversations.
And we're
right?
Like, fuck, that'd be a great topic.
Exactly.
Like, people need to hear this.
Exactly.
That's actually how this topic came up.
Exactly.
Because we were having this conversation, and then it came up that there was a possibility of doing a podcast, and I was like, heck yeah!
Yeah, we were talking about doing a video on my little couch confessional area, and because I'd like to do interviews similar to this, but with video, and... I just, this idea came up. We had some experiences over Vancouver Fetish Weekend and witnessed some really unhealthy behavior. And we're like, fuck, we should do a video of this.
Yeah.
Like, we need to sit down and organize an actual.
Because it's kind of like it's been the end of like a good, like, you know, kink season, the kink summer, right?
My
we're
God.
Coming into the fall now, right?
This has been kink summer.
And Halloween, and we're coming into kink Christmas, which is Halloween, right? We're going to be busy over the next couple
months.
Never
heard that one. That's funny. I like that.
King Christmas.
Halloween's my favorite holiday.
I mean,
everyone.
It's already Halloween in this house.
I know.
And it's
all year round for me. I've been to my house. It's pretty much Halloween all year round in my house. Skulls everywhere.
Thank you guys for taking the time to sit down.
This is great.
Yes, it was awesome. And more of this, please.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, Miss Interest, you and I are always going to have some fun things. We got some fun things planned.
Oh my God, we have so many things.
We're not going to tell any. You guys just have to follow
us. We have some tasty experiences for
you. Yes. You have to follow both of ours. So where can they follow you? Where's the best place for them to follow you?
So I have my missinterest.com, and all of my links link through there.
Yep.
I'm also Sinstress on beacons.io. And that should be pretty easy. I'm Miss _ Sinstress on Twitter and Instagram.
Perfect.
All the follows.
Good. Harley?
Harley Heckle on any platform you care to look.
All one word?
No.
Okay.
On Instagram, it's one word. Facebook, it's two words. And then...
I miss Cindy Sinstress on Facebook, too.
Yeah, those are the only two active social media I
and
have
I'll
right
tag
now.
You guys. I'm going to tag you guys in the notes, too. So
yeah.
In the notes, everyone get it.
I have TikTok, but I don't really post anything there.
Oh TikTok is hard to post anything.
Banning.
Because we just get booted all the time. Our podcast, our my True North Dom podcast, our Instagram got taken down.
So...
Got pulled.
I registered because I just did a marketing course. And I registered because TikTok's one of the things. They're like, hey, this is good for marketing because it's a fairly new program. And I registered my toy company. So it's Devious Devices Toy Co. I also have an Instagram.
And I just got a toy from it. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Haven't been able to use it yet.
And you can make business accounts on TikTok.
Yeah.
So I made a business account, and then it says what industry you're in, and it actually has adult entertainment and adult novelty as options of industry.
On TikTok?
On TikTok.
Wow.
And when you select it, it bans your IP.
Oh my God.
It says, we currently aren't accepting businesses of this type at this time.
So it's a trap.
It's a trap.
And it bans your IP.
It's a trap!
So now you're like, that's it. You're LinkedIn.
That's hard
is
reference
that.
For us Star Wars nerds.
Yeah, are you ready for this trap? It's coming next.
Everybody, you can always follow me on FET, OBAN1794, OBAN1794. Or, of course, Instagram. I'm an Instagram slut. at ST.AAKALKINGS. Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, yeah.